what I have to minister about, I have a topic, no notes. So that's always fun. Anita, she goes, great. No, I like ministering this way because it, you know, for me, everybody's different. You know, Pastor Wade's a teacher, so he's gonna put this stuff in the oven, right, throughout the week, and he's gonna organize it. He's a teacher, okay? So I don't ever want to come off like that's the wrong way to minister. Certainly not. How many of you are thankful that we have a pastor that teaches? Amen. Yeah. But you know, I just recognize more and more that I am just get a topic and go. You know, because for me, if I organize it, I can organize the life out of it. So we're talking about this. We're still in this series, Walking with God, and this is going to be the last part of the series. I'm asking you guys, you know, I always ask you to go with me, right, to engage, believe with me, connect your hearts. This one's going to have to be that, because it's a very, I don't want to say sensitive topic, but it's just really, it's intimate, right? Is that okay to talk about intimate? You know, we're an intimate church, I believe. This is a big part, I think, of our walk with God. And I think it's most important now because the culture we live in is anti what we're going to talk about. And we'll get into that. So let's pray and then we will go. God, we just thank you for this day, for this time. God, I thank you for the family of God. I'm thankful for these people here. And God, most of all, we've come of our own free will to worship you and hear your voice and be a family that you've assembled. God, we lift up our pastors. God, I just thank you. You sent people to rescue us. God, I thank you. You called people to this place with us in mind. And we just thank you, God, for faithful people who answered the call. God, we know you better because of them. We honor that sacrifice that they've made to come here. And we just ask you to bless them and increase them. And God, I ask you for your spirit to be flowing and walking freely among us. This is a place of freedom for the Holy Spirit. God, I just ask you to walk these aisles today and speak to our hearts as we listen for what the Spirit says. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you thankful for our pastors? You know, we likely wouldn't know each other without them. Amen. I'm very thankful. All right. You guys ready? If you need a title, I guess the title would be Being Known. I knew you were going to be excited about it. This whole thing about being known, and really what we're going to be talking about today is being vulnerable. Just going to let the uncomfortable tension set in. Yeah. Our culture despises vulnerability. They may not identify it and say it that way, but we only put forth our best image, right? Through social media. Now we don't get together anymore. We just text, right? We don't have memories together. We take a picture and call it a memory, right? And the bad thing about that is if I can stay in contact with somebody, I'm giving them something. I'm giving them a text. I'm giving them a little bit of time. I'm giving them a picture on Facebook or, you know, whatever. But we're not really letting people see who we are. And what can happen is we create a culture where other people are not allowed to show us who they are. Because we have this stance, because of our own posture. It's like, you're not allowed to see me. But to them, that feels a lot like, I don't want to see you. Does that make sense? So we never really expose ourselves to one another. And I mean on the inside. Now, I think this church is an exception. I'm of the mind. Paul said in, I think it was Philippians, Peter said this too. He was saying something and he felt the need to say, look, I know you think I'm being redundant. But he's like, because you're good at this, but because you're good at it, I'm going to say it twice. Okay? So we don't want to ever be in the posture where it's like, oh, we got it. Let's ignore that. No, he said, I wish your love would increase and abound more and more and more, right? So this is just what's on my heart, is this vulnerability thing. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So I first want to lay a foundation that what I'm proposing to you in this way that I think we should walk with God and towards others was common practice in the early church. Okay? This is not just a pie in the sky, Pastor Josh-ism. I never want those. I want Bible. Amen? So 1 Thessalonians, Paul has a lot of these appeals, and I don't know how many we'll get to of them, but this is one where he's trying to remind this church of their relationship with one another, okay? Because apparently something's happened, something's been lost. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness." Let me stop right there, just a sidebar. Somebody who is discipling you, who only ever flatters you, is dangerous. I'm just going to throw that out there. The people that I disciple will tell you, I don't leave them much room to hide. Right? I don't want dark corners. Amen? And if all I do is pat you on the head and say, no, you're fine, we don't need to look at those dark corners, is that God? No, that's not responsible. So that's what Paul's saying. He's like, I didn't flatter you. I was real with you, okay? "Nor did we seek glory from men." Another dangerous area. You ever feel like somebody's fishing for a compliment from you? Never let, God never let that be from pastors. Amen? We don't seek glory from men. Our approval is of God. Now, the one great gift is you guys are epistles. You know, when we see the people that we are pouring into just begin to know God, it's the greatest gift. There's nothing better than that. The way I say it to people, because often people that I disciple will say, I'm sorry I'm taking up your time or whatever. I'm like, look, the only reason I didn't get raptured when I got born again is because of you. I need to be here for you. Amen? I step into my call when you draw on my gift. And it's the same for any one of you, for each other. Amen? "Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you." Now pay attention here. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives. Now isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? See, I can't say I was raised in church this way because Pastor Wade was the one who raised me. Okay, so I haven't had this, call it a handicap, but I recognize that there's a lot of churches where we're sort of raised up that everybody, you stay over there. Don't get too close to me, right? But look at what Paul said there. He's like, I didn't just share you the gospel, I opened my whole life to you. That's a different thing. Amen? Let's look at another one. Go to Matthew 26. These next two we're going to read are, oh, they're really thick. They're they're tough to read when you put them in context. Matthew 26, verse 38. So this is just a side note as we're going into this. You know, Jesus is our example, is he not? He's the one we look to and say, I want to be like that, okay? And of course, the apostles are great examples as well. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, okay? He was confident enough in his walk to say that. But let's examine something in this area of vulnerability. Did Jesus, was anybody ever unsure of what Jesus was feeling? Did anybody ever go, I wonder what he's thinking? They didn't, did they? Or did they say, I wonder where Jesus stands? And God said, I love it. That's funny. But no one was ever unsure of what Jesus believed. They were never unsure of what he felt, right? You looked at Jesus and you knew what was going on, right? Partly is he acted on what was going on in here as long as it was holy, right? But it's like we knew when he was angry. He made a whip, went into the temple, and whipped people out of the temple when they were selling stuff, right? Or with Lazarus, it says that he groaned in the spirit, right? I mean, Pastor Wade's expounded on that it's like he knelt down and snorted with anger. You think anybody looked at him and went, I wonder what's going on in there? What he didn't do was keep his poise and his dignity. And he didn't go, I'm going to make sure that I look like what my Facebook looks like. And I'm going to make sure people never see what's really going on in here. No, he didn't do that. Okay, let's look at the scripture where we're at. You guys in Matthew 26? Okay, Matthew 26, 38. So then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. That sound like somebody being vulnerable? Let's think about this. This is the God of the universe in man saying to man, I'm so sad, I think I'm going to die. Will you stay with me? That's really vulnerable. It's really vulnerable. Let's look at another one. Acts 20, verse 35. So when it comes to this area of being vulnerable, here's what it isn't. Let me just squash this one right here. What it isn't is walking around and crying all the time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we are a snowflake and, you know, if somebody upsets us, we just throw stuff at them because we're being, you know, vulnerable. We're being no. Aren't we told to tell the truth to one another? Right? So this is something that I've tried to practice in the past few years, that when somebody asks me how I'm doing, I tell them how I'm doing. What I've taken out of my vocabulary, and I know this sounds anti-faith, I don't say blessed and highly favored. Just saying. Just me. Here's why. Because sometimes, hey, you know what? I'm tired. Right? You know what? I had a really bad week. What's the value in doing this? Because you have a gift in you. Because you pray for me. And I pray for you. But if I create the appearance that there's nothing for you to pray for me about, why would you? Right? Unless the Lord puts you on my heart. See, there's a reason. There's always, and not just a reason, there's always a pile of reasons the Lord tells us to do something. Amen? And this is one of the reasons when we're told tell each other the truth, we're not told to tell each other the truth just because it's a nice thing to do. There's value. Amen? So when somebody asks us, how are you doing? You know, you kind of have two options. You can say, fine, get away from me. Or you can tell them the truth. Because see, now what's going to happen is that person's going to have a burden on their heart for you. Now, we think that word burden is a bad thing. It's not. It's most holy. It's most holy to have a burden on your heart for someone else. I love it. When my heart aches for people that I'm connected to, I'm like, thank you, God, for the opportunity that I'm in this person's life. I mean, aren't we told share with one another's burdens? Right? We're supposed to carry each other's weight. It's not just bags. It's the baggage. Right? So let's look at this other scripture. Now, this is a beautiful picture of the relationship between, say, a pastor and his church. Okay? So this is Paul, and I believe he's in Rome, And he's just received news that he's about to be beheaded. Okay? And so he's with the church. This is the last time they're ever going to see him. It's a hard moment because he's telling them goodbye. We're about to read a goodbye moment with Paul and the people he's loved on for decades. Okay? You ready? Let's see if this looks vulnerable or not. Like he's allowing, they're all allowing each other to see what's going on the inside. Acts 20, verse 35. He says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now listen to this. And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. These people were close. This wasn't no side hug, see you in heaven. These people were close. They were vulnerable with each other. Amen? I mean, listen to the rest of this. It says, they fell on his neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. You're never going to see him again, you know, except in heaven. It's a heavy moment. But see, here's why I'm bringing this all up. It's easier in the right now to not engage with what I'm talking about. I'll give you an example. So these home groups, okay? You know, we're sort of promoting them constantly. The reason is there are several people who have gone to these home groups, and you get together with this group of people and you lay your heart open in front of them, right? You have a topic, you start talking about it, and before you know it, somebody goes, you know, I don't understand that. Or somebody goes, you know, I'm angry about this. Or, you know what I mean? Stuff starts coming forward. You expose yourselves. And all of a sudden, something comes to light and it comes to the surface to be removed. See, we're supposed to allow ourselves to be vulnerable with the body because the body's the one who's going to take that thing away. Right? It is the ministry of us one to another. But see, if we stay closed off, if we stay distant, that thing stays with us. And on top of that, you know what else I've seen? Even with myself, if I maybe don't bring up my vulnerability, sometimes you have to do that too. Sometimes I'll call Pastor Wade and say, hey, I'm having a hard time. And I'll tell him, every bit as ugly as it is, don't ever try to sugarcoat your mess. Amen? Just plop it out there, every bit as ugly as it is. Seriously. Let it be as ugly as it is. You know why? Where sin abounds, grace superabounds. To the degree that we are honest and expose what is really going on, there's grace available. You know what this really is humility. Being humble enough to take what's on the inside and go, here it is. Here's where I've failed. Here's where I continue to fail. Here's where I struggle believing. Here's where I'm angry. Here's where I'm jealous. Amen. Anybody have any of this stuff going on? Or is it just me? I'll say it in front of y'all. I got a mess. Okay? We all have things. I'll give you one. Can I be vulnerable in front of y'all? Growing up, me and my dad didn't have a good relationship for a very good reason. He had an awful dad. Now, I won't tell you all the stuff that happened to him to glorify what his dad did to him, but it was awful. And then his dad disappeared when he was 16. And then my dad at 17 years old joins the Marines. Okay? And then he's in the Marines for a time and then gets out and it becomes a cop in the worst part of Orlando. Okay? Downtown Orlando. He's been shot. He's been stabbed. He had a Jack Daniels bottle broken over his head. He's got staples in his skull. He's seen stuff. Okay? Now, I want you to take his experience of life, okay? All this trauma, all this lack of love and nurturing and everything, then he has me. How would he know? How would he know? Now, at the time, I didn't see it that way. I saw him as the worst person in the world, right? And I blamed my dad for everything that I went through, right? And so from that point on, my whole life was built around, you know, he wanted me to join the Marines, and I just, no way. This just wasn't for me. So a substitute was the fire service. I joined the fire service, and I thought, you know what, that's honorable. I'll make my dad proud, right? God was not in that choice. Let me just say, I loved it. It was a great short 7-year career, and I was successful at it, but it was not God. So what I began to realize is my whole life was based around this hole in me. Okay? And what I would do is the first strong male that I would come across, I would latch onto whether they were good or not. Right? And then I also noticed tendencies within myself like him. Tendencies of control. Right? And it's all fear-based. You know, we hear that a man has trouble with control issues, and we will like label them really, really bad or something. No, they're just afraid. Most of the time, they're afraid they're going to lose what they love most. Amen? So then you continue on this track, and I began to have girlfriends constantly, constantly, because I wanted a family of my own. I felt like I didn't have the right experience of having a family. And I messed up with zeros on the end from the age maybe 13 until 18. Okay. Went through a battery of relationships, constant mess. My biggest relationship, this girl was in upstate New York, and I have a reason for telling you all this, even though you look like you're engaged because it's juicy. But everybody loves hearing somebody else's business. It's true. So this girl, suffice it to say, violated every thing that could be violated. And I spent every penny that I had to move up to upstate New York. I was going to go live up there with her, right? And an event happened where, long story short, she lost her mind, is a good way to say it, and attacked me. And I ended up on the side of the road in upstate New York. She took my wallet, broke my phone. I was stranded, and I was broken. Everything I had based my life around was over with, and I had nothing left. Okay? So you can kind of see the degrees and levels of brokenness I was dealing with, right? Now, in the midst of all this, every time people at my church, every time my family asked me how I was doing, guess what I did? Fine. Get away from me. Get away from me. And guess what I kept carrying all those years? All that brokenness. Now, something happened. When I met Pastor Wade, I didn't know why. I clung to him like fly on flypaper. I came and I sat in the second row at one of those church services, and I cried like a baby because I'd never heard the gospel before. I grew up in church, and I never heard that God loved me and died for me and that I was righteous by faith, not by what I do. Oh, it wrecked my life. Never heard that before. So I began calling Pastor Wade. He made the mistake of giving me his phone number. Oh, and I took it. I called him every day. Every day. You know what happened before that? I called churches. Because see what happened, I guess we're moving into my testimony here. This is interesting. But before that, at our old church, we got baptized in the Holy Spirit by premarital counselors for Miriam and I. And they were undercover because it was not a Spirit-filled church. And they were like, don't tell anybody, but be filled. Okay. From that point on, I knew I had to get out of that church. I did not belong there. There was something so alive in me that had never been there before. Amen? And, oh, I used to read the book of Romans and get condemned. Can you believe that? So I got filled, and I just started searching. I'm like, we got to find another church. I didn't know what I was missing, right? So I start looking and looking and looking, and I called pastors. I got a hold of one pastor, and I'm just, you know, I'm a transparent guy. I called them and I would just puke on them and tell them, hey, here's my stuff, blah, 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 blah. I had a pastor say, yeah, we don't do that here. And I said, do what? And he goes, you. Yeah. A Christian church said that to me. So, there was one night in this search when I was still in the fire department. I had this debate with my friend Steve. You guys know Steve, the drummer, right? That's how we met, was in the fire service. So one night, we're sleeping, and we hear boots walking up the stairs. We open the doors, nobody's there. This happened 3 times. And we're both looking each other in the eye, fully awake, hearing someone walking around. So we got in the fire truck, and on the taxpayer dime, drove around till 6 a.m. talking about Jesus. Okay? And at the end of that conversation, he decided, I want to try a Christian church. Right? So he's a drummer, and he's playing drums. Well, someone who used to go to the church lived across the street from him, and they heard him playing the drums and said, hey, we need a drummer. Okay? So Steve comes, jams with Pastor Wade, and Steve calls me, goes, I played guitar or drums with this pastor, and he plays the blues and stuff, and he's a pastor. I'm like, all right. So I came. So you see how the Lord got me here? And this is just a fraction of my testimony. It's amazing. I couldn't have got me here. It's amazing. And I didn't know I was called to be a pastor until I sat in that row. Amen? So here's what started to happen. We're still talking about being vulnerable. I came and I just clung to Pastor Wade. And I said, look, can I just help you with stuff? I just want to be around you, right? And I clung to him. I took every opportunity to have lunch with him, to help him clean toilets, to do, I don't care what it was. I just want to be around him, right? Because he had something I was looking for. He had what I was missing. And I couldn't put words to it, but I saw it in him. And so I just went after it. I felt like my life was at stake if I didn't, right? And I think it was. And so over time, I began to open up to him and just pour out everything that's ever happened to me, everything I've ever done. Now, what happened when I began to pour out? God met me at my brokenness. I mean, in ways I can't describe. I can tell you one story. There was one time where, I don't know if you guys remember this series that Pastor Wade taught, but it was all about inviting Jesus to our broken places. This was probably 5 years ago now. A powerful series. And really what it was taking those broken places and not hiding them, but holding them up and going, Jesus, this hurt. Where were you? And letting the Lord show you where he was. One of those nights, this, again, this came from me opening my life and my heart to Pastor Wade, being vulnerable. As embarrassing as it was to tell him some of those things, as hard as it was for some of that pain to come out of my mouth. The only reason I don't want to tell some of the stories is I would hate for it to ever get back to my dad, because I forgive him. And those things, they don't exist anymore. Amen? So I want to tell you the good things. What happened is in this series Pastor Wade was teaching, I was at work one day, and I was thinking about this one time that my mom and dad got in this massive fight, and my dad left, disappeared for a couple days. And my mom figured out where he was. She said, I'm going to go, you know, she decided she's going to go confront him. And so she dropped us off at my grandmother's house. And guys, I'm telling you, if I could paint, I could paint you the picture. I remember it so vividly. I'm sitting on the bed in this room, and I'm just so scared, because I feel like I'm never going to see my dad again. Very afraid. As angry as I was at him, you know, he's my dad. He's the only one I got. And my grandmother comes in. My grandmother's a godly woman. She has prayed for me. Her, my great-grandmother, who is, I think, Jenny, how old's Gigi? How old's Gigi? She's 95. And she's awesome. So they've prayed for me when I was out building my testimony with all these girls and doing all this stupid stuff, blowing money. They were praying for me. So anyway, I'm sitting there on this bed, and my grandmother comes in, and my grandmother could have used that opportunity to talk really badly about my dad to me. She didn't. She said, she came in, she sat down, put her arm around her, she said, "Your dad's a good man, he loves you, and everything's going to be okay." So I'm thinking about this at work years later after Pastor Wade taught this series. And when I'm thinking about this event that happened, it hurts. And I said, "Lord, where were you?" And it was like I replayed this event in that room, but I was watching from behind and I see me. But this time I see Jesus come in and sit down and put his arm around me and say, "Your dad's a good man and he loves you." And it doesn't make me emotional now because it hurts. It's because he's so good that he was there. See, for the longest time, I thought God left me behind. But he was there the whole time. And people, and there's been several of these events that have happened where God's taken me back, and it's been him and people. But it always happened when I was vulnerable to someone, when I opened my heart. When I didn't try to shield somebody and think, "Oh, my stuff's too bad for you to hear. Or I've done something you can't imagine. Or they hurt me way worse than you can ever imagine." No. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing Jesus didn't die for. Amen? So, healing and us becoming who God has called us to be and experiencing the abundant life won't happen unless we are like Jesus, who said to his disciples, "Guys, I think I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to live through this." You know, or Paul, "Guys, I'm not going to see you again. I love you. Goodbye." We have to be vulnerable with people. And here's the real secret. God has been vulnerable with us since creation. Do you realize that? God didn't have to show us what hurt him. He could have stayed this distant God behind the clouds that we don't know. But he didn't. He came down in Exodus 32 when Moses is on the mountain and the children of Israel got impatient, and so they said, "Moses is taking too long, let's make a cow." Man, that's stupid with zeros on the end. So God looks down at this and he goes, "You know what, Moses? I'm done. I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to turn them to powder. We're going to start over with you. Here we go." Did he have to show us that? No. That was vulnerability from the Creator. He was angry. You know, in Genesis 6:6, he saw that the thoughts and intents of the hearts of man were only evil continually. And it says that he was grieved and he was sorry that he made man. That's vulnerability. I want to read one more scripture. God is good. He's so good. Sometime I'll have to... I've been talking to Pastor Wade about it for years, about sharing my testimony, because it's a good one. But it's long. And it's not done. Testimony ain't over till we die. But see, it makes so much sense to me now when it talks about that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Me sharing that does something. It reveals his nature. And when we know his nature, we're just drawn to him. We're drawn to him. Romans 12 and verse 15. Romans 12, 15. "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Really wanted to focus on that first part. The rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. I want to think about something. Do you know one of the most beautiful things someone can ever give you is laughter and their tears? Here's why. When we laugh together, I see straight into your heart. That's raw joy coming right out of you. And that's you. It's beautiful. And it's the most precious thing we can share with one another. It's the same with tears. Me sharing that with you guys, you see exactly what's going on in here. There's nothing deeper than that, right? So this scripture that tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, this is an intimate, vulnerable scripture. This is like, hey, you got to be raw with each other. Be real. Tell the truth. You know, share this life with one another. And you know what? Life is so much more beautiful this way. You know, we think it's scary to be vulnerable with one another. I'm telling you, on this side of it, it's scary that I ever lived the other way. Because I was so locked up and angry and bitter, and just I wanted people to think of me a certain way, and what a prison. What a prison. I would rather just say, here I am, you know, take it or leave it. And it's awesome that you guys take it. And I get to take you. You know, I said it a few weeks ago when I ministered, the most important relationships are right here. We're going to spend eternity together. To my point, it's okay to be vulnerable with each other. And listen, there's nothing so bad or so awful or so scary, or nobody's done anything that's not already written down in the book and paid for. But if we keep this stuff inside and keep ourselves locked up and people at bay, we're missing out the most beautiful part of life is each other. Amen? And that's the purpose of these home groups, is that's where this happens. It can't happen. I mean, you can't do this in the pews next to each other. Just can't happen, okay? And the power of this is when we have this connection with each other, you know what that's called? Unity. That's the full measure of Christ. Because see, when we're unified on that level, all the other stuff, the doctrine, the whatever it is, political stuff, who cares? I love you. I've seen you. We've shared something together. That stuff doesn't matter. That's real unity. That's what would cause people to die for each other. It's not because we agree on data. It's this thing. Amen? Oh, I could keep going, but I think we'll quit. You guys get anything out of that? Amen. Amen. So, let's not be hearers of the word only, but doers. Amen. If there's somebody that's on your heart that you want to go talk to, or somebody that's been trying to reach out to you and you've been keeping them at bay, just plunge in. It's the cold water theory. Just get it over with. Jump in. You women will have a hard time with that. You want to put one toe in and no. Jump in. Just jump in. Amen.